This is Romance Watson welcoming you to another session of Software Monetization with Mark Schroeder. Today we are speaking with John Rhodes, founder of ADC Austin and ADC Technology. His experience has been focused on enterprise software architecture. John uses his experience to help customers turn business requirements into concrete technology, plans, and approaches. Take this opportunity to learn more about software monetization using CAPlex and the Web Client I+ platform. Here is your host, Mark Schroeder, as he interviews John Rhodes of ADC Austin and ADC Technology.
I've created a list of questions that are important for companies when they're thinking about modernizing their current applications. Today we're going to talk with John Rhodes from ADC Austin, who is an expert in the area of modernization. And then we'll also look at what kind of solution ADC Austin provides for modernization. John, give me a short bit of information about your background in software design and modernization.
Sure, Mark. You know, my background started several years ago. Just when I was fresh out of school, I joined with Kraft Foods, and my first project there was to help modernize order processing logistics from the mainframe to the IBM mid-range platform. So I kind of dived into it right away and was able to see that this process was bringing a lot of benefits to the business by producing lower costs, operational costs, and also increasing productivity and capability of the software. And so also in addition to the benefits, you know, I could also see the challenges. So it kind of got me hooked. When I later joined CA, it was also a key focus of my job was to help people modernize old applications into new technology. So I've decided to make that a professional focus area. One area that I've been interested in for several years is automated migration of legacy software. It's having a lot of promise, but also being very challenging. In recent years, we're seeing a lot of focus on that and a lot of new technology and tooling coming into forefront. And we've actually focused on that at ADC Austin. So it's an area that has a lot of promise and a lot of challenges. But you can tell by the number of COBOL and RPG-based shops, it is a major focus. For example, IBM estimates that 70% of the world's financial transactions run through COBOL-based systems. This gives you an idea of the size of the opportunity.
Now, that is quite a bit of opportunity with that many transactions going through COBOL. Most of these applications people would consider to be legacy applications. What is your definition?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Obviously, legacy can mean a lot of different things to different people. Some people consider that to be any production-enabled system. Probably a more common definition is a system that is outdated from a technology perspective, but still contains considerable business value. Or put in a different way, a system that the software developers and the business would like to replace if they could, but they can't figure out how to do it cost-effectively.
That's a problem with companies. It's such a costly endeavor to change their entire application to something that's more modern, either replace it or find some other way to manage their software. But a lot of companies are looking and saying they want to modernize their software. How do you define the software modernization? Is it just changing the code? Is it changing the platform you're on or everything else?
Well, it could be all of those things. I think, broadly speaking, it's the process of evolving legacy code into more modern software environments where these applications can be maintained more effectively. You know, in days past, that would mean rewriting the code, taking the original COBOL system and writing that, for example, in Java manually. However, with current technology, we're seeing more automation. And then, again, that's our focus at ADC Austin, is how do we apply automated tooling to this problem?
Automated tooling seems like it would speed up the process quite a bit, maybe even make better applications, because I've seen that when you use a tool that you have to do all the coding manually, there's a lot of manual mistakes that get put into the process.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you're talking about a 20 million line system, it's just impossible to rewrite that manually without making some mistakes.
Right.
And you know, just a small number of mistakes can mean a large effect on the business. Those mistakes are in the area of calculating a stock price or the value of a transaction, for example.
One of the reasons I think that companies modernize is because they have all these different applications out there and they want to find a way to manage it. Why is it important to consider the whole portfolio of applications that a company has when you're looking at a modernization approach?
Yeah, you're right. Enterprise applications don't operate as islands or standalone systems. They're interacting with other systems, and sometimes interaction can be quite deep. So you really have to look at the entire portfolio of software assets before you can decide to modernize and go forward. I mean, it does no good to modernize the accounting system if the ERP system just can't talk to it.
I think we can learn from our government. They have many different branches, and their systems don't all talk to each other, do they?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the government is an example of an organization that's very complex and difficult to modernize.
When companies are considering modernization, what are some of the reasons you've seen that companies decide that they need to modernize their applications?
I'd say the top reason that we encounter is basically that the legacy software system cannot be kept up to date or maintained at a pace that's acceptable to the business. And perhaps as a close second, that the legacy software can't be integrated effectively with other enterprise software. Those two reasons are really the top reasons. Some other reasons that come into play can be, a need to or a desire to move to different platforms or to support different platforms.
You mentioned integrating applications. Why would an integration actually be a motivator for modernization?
Well, it's basically a fact that most or many legacy applications can't be effectively integrated with other modern software. They don't have an SOA web service bus, for example. They don't have the mechanisms to get in and automate parts of the code. They operate kind of in a black box that's opaque to the rest of the enterprise. So when a company purchases, for example, an enterprise business process modeling solution, and then they find they can't get the benefit of this solution because they just can't get into the legacy software. So that can be a powerful motivator to modernize the legacy software to get the benefit of other software that you have in your organization.
Then I think one of the other things you see that all these other software sits on other platforms, and your legacy application might sit on something that doesn't really talk very well with. What about considering moving your application to another platform as a motivator for modernization? Have you seen this as something that companies are trying to do and consolidate in a certain platform, or maybe expand to certain other platforms that talk better together?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a key driver, especially for the software vendor. So a company that their business is developing software, they have to, as a matter of survival, provide new and expanded offerings to their customers. An ISV that's on the System I, the fact is the market for 5250 green screen applications is shrinking. And on the other hand, the .NET, Java, and Linux platforms are becoming increasingly more important. So we have several ISVs that are working with us and looking at migration from their RPG COBOL systems and seeing that as just a way to stay in business. And there's also demand outside the ISV space. Companies may find themselves through acquisitions or other reasons that they have a wide variety of platforms to support, from mainframe to mid-range to Unix. And standardizing those platforms into one enterprise platform that is around a single operating system and a single technology can provide some benefits. So those are the two main reasons we see that organizations are looking at replatforming.
Do you find them mostly moving to a single platform, or do they move to multiple platforms?
Well, for the ISV, supporting multiple platforms, it can be critical. I mean, obviously, if you have a great application around flow manufacturing, you'd want to have that available to people that want to run it on Windows, .NET, as well as people that are interested in Java, and not have the platform as a barrier to your success. So that can be a reason to expand other platforms. I think I see more consolidation of platforms than the desire to introduce new platforms for your typical business organization, though.
Of course, we always have the government to deal with, don't we, in our applications, especially the larger applications. Do you see that regulatory compliance have effects on causing companies to want to modernize, and why would compliance issues make companies want to modernize?
Well, you've certainly described a very powerful motivation. You have to, as a business, stay in with some legal operating requirements, or the government can quite easily and literally shut you down. Government regulation is very important. And if an organization finds they just can't modify their systems quickly enough to meet new regulations, or it's costing too much, they don't have enough quality around that, it's a serious risk to the business. That's especially true now. We're in a period of changing regulations. We're seeing new financial control regulations come down from federal government, changes in health care, the cap and trade bill. All these things are resulting in more regulation, not less, and the need to change systems faster. Specifically, we're seeing some of our government customers at the state and local level having to put systems and procedures in place to handle the fiscal stimulus bill, where they're being told, here's some money for you to spend, but in return, you have to report on the use of this money in a much more stringent way. So that's driving some modernization activity as well.
That seems like that could really provide some issues for companies that don't have many programmers or that use 3GL to rebuild a lot of their application.
Absolutely.
Your 4GL, to me, the 4GL is going to really help those smaller companies be able to modernize more quickly and meet the demands.
I absolutely agree.
Another thing that companies are trying to do, it's such a competitive world out there. You have to find ways to have a competitive advantage over someone. So they're modifying their processes, maybe streamlining what they do to be more effective. How does this whole area of process improvements and modernization affect the modernization strategy of a company?
Well, yeah, it is very important, of course. Business agility, the ability to take a new business concept and then integrate that into the business processes and do it quickly is very important to a lot of companies. And when you're talking legacy software, you often have a situation where specific transactions and other information could be buried within a system through hierarchical menus, and you can't rearrange your COBOL RPG-based screens into different sequences, or you can't access them from outside the application. What happens is these legacy applications are not workflow enabled, and so business process modeling concepts and business process change just can't be done effectively quickly enough. So again, that is another motivator for modernization, is to basically support the business and as it should be supported.
And you've worked with some companies that provide some workflow capability built right into the applications, is that correct?
That is correct. We're a business partner with Sorco. They provide a tool called Expert Ivy that helps organizations basically bring together different computer systems through a common workflow environment. And we work with other tools too, like Lombardi Teamworks. And we feel quite strongly that this type of software is very important for businesses to keep up with demand for changing business processes.
It seems like that's as important as modernizing your application, because you're helping the application be able to follow what the business is really doing.
Absolutely.
Another thing that I've seen over time as I read the journals about modernization out there is that developer skills are having some effect on what goes on with modernization. Especially, you know, I come from the iSeries world, and it's a little different there versus the .Java or .NET world. How do the skills of companies' developers affect their modernization strategy?
Well, yeah, it is a critical area. Per a statistic from Microsoft, that the average age of the RPG developer is 55 years. We all know that universities are not offering courses in COBOL or RPG as part of their standard curriculum. So you don't have to be a genius to understand that these skills are getting harder to find. On the other hand, Java and .NET skills are getting easier to find. So, you know, that is another reason that people really have to look at their outdated portfolios. As these programmers start retiring, they're going to be even harder to maintain than they are today.
It's amazing that COBOL, after all these years, is still such a strong language out there, but there's no place to learn it seems like, unless you take a self-study course on the Internet.
That's correct. You know, some of our customers are adding COBOL at many thousands of lines per year. The problem keeps growing.
Companies have different approaches to modernization out there, and each one has its reasons to do it and not to do it. What are the different approaches that you've come across?
Yeah, I suppose the classic way to modernize has always been to rewrite the code manually. So to take the legacy system, sit down and get the business rules out of that and redesign and just rewrite. But we're finding that many of our customers simply just can't find value on this anymore, on these large software development projects that span years. It takes too long, and by the time the system's finished, the business has moved on. So that's becoming less and less of an option for people. purchasing package software is another way to move to more modern environments, and that can work well in a lot of cases. But in the case of many businesses, the software may not fit the operating environment. And in that case, the cost of customization can outweigh the benefits. You know, you can wrap the legacy code in a way that you can get at through SOA, or perhaps using screen scraping techniques to put a front end. Those are all quite common. You know, in the case of screen scraping, you can quickly get a solution, you know, a modern front end to your legacy application that runs on the web. However, since you're not modernizing the underlying business logic, the effect is almost skin deep in some cases, and you have the same problems that you had before around business agility and changing the software to meet business needs. And the last technique that we're seeing rising in popularity is syntax translation, which is taking the, for example, COBOL code and translate that into Java. One reality with this, however, is that you often end up with an unmaintainable mess at the end, so that your COBOL system is indeed transformed into Java, but you end up with a JOBOL system, as some people put it, that neither the COBOL programmers or the Java programmers can effectively maintain. What we're focused on is a variant of syntax translation where we extract the design information at a model level and basically translate that into a second modernized model. And so with our approach, since we're not translating individual lines of code, we're able to give you something that's maintainable at the end after it's modernized.
That's an important factor, because maintenance of a system really is the largest time-consuming function in most cases, because that system has to last for years.
I have to agree. Certainly, if you have a case where a software system is very static and doesn't need to be maintained, then perhaps a pure syntax translation may be appropriate. In the case where you are using something or have the intention to maintain this for 5 or 10 years in the future, then a pure syntax translation may not work.
You started talking a little bit about your approach about the syntax translation. I'm assuming that's sort of what you've included in your M3 approach. Could you explain a little bit more in depth about the ADC Austin M3 approach you've developed?
Absolutely. Basically, our M3 approach stands for model-based modernization. So we're focused around software models that generate code. And, you know, specifically, we're focused on the CA model-based development customer. So that means a customer that's using a tool called CA2E or Sign-On. With our modernization, we take that software model and translate that into a different model from CA called CA Plex. And from there, you get the ability to generate C# or Java. Additionally, we also utilize a tool called DataBro X Analysis as a model-based modernization tool for handwritten RPG and COBOL. What X Analysis does is take the RPG or COBOL and extract the business rules into a repository or a model, and then use that to generate code from. Both of these tools, we feel, provide a more complete and maintainable modernization method, because we're not modernizing a single line of code line by line. We're modernizing a model and the business rules.
That sounds like quite a unique approach, using models to actually help you manage and generate your code for the future. Are there other companies besides ADC that use this approach, or is this something unique to you?
I wouldn't say it is unique to us, but it is not maybe the most common way, certainly. It's something that other companies do offer with different tooling. I'd say that our advantage at ADC comes from our deep understanding and specific tooling around the CA and the IBMI customer. So we have some specialized software and around that. So if you're in that environment, we feel like we offer the highest degree of automation, and we also deliver a more quality and maintainable end product.
If I understand, you can take an application from your green screen all the way to becoming a web-enabled, pretty AJAX application. You use, I think, WebCity and WebClient to do this. Could you explain how this works? And when you're doing this whole conversion from the 400 green screen to the web, do you have to rewrite a lot of code?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And it certainly does vary according to the specific circumstance how the original code was written and architected. But what we've tried to do, and we believe has succeeded in, is to take the original 2E model and apply a very high degree of automation to it, so we can take a running function in 2E, run it through automated processes, port that into the CA Plex model, and then generate a running web application directly from the design information that's implemented in Java or C#. without having to make, in many cases, any manual modifications. We don't have a 100% solution, of course, but again, that's our intention, and our approach is to have a very high degree of automation that will approach 100%.
Well, that can really save a company a lot of time and money if they can have 95 to 100% of their code automatically moved from the green screen over to the web.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It you know, some of our systems we look at can range from 10,000 to 15,000 functions, and that may be anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 individual panels. And if you can't automatically port those, and let's say you have to spend even a minimal amount of 8 hours per screen or per function, that adds up to some pretty big numbers pretty fast. We're not saying we have a perfect solution, but we are saying we have something that lets you cut down the amount of time you have to spend after the system's modernized to a minimum.
In fact, you could probably be as efficient or more efficient in your conversion as a company could be in providing screen scraping.
Yeah, certainly that's the intention and the reason we've invested so heavily in this technology.
One of the buzzwords out there these days is Ajax. Everybody wants to have an Ajax-enabled application and have all that GUI stuff going on the web. Does the M3 approach include Ajax capabilities?
Yes, it absolutely does. Yeah, we can see that Ajax is taking off. I recently saw a statistic that almost half organizations have RIA applications in production. We do offer that as a target platform, so the modernized application can be generated as an Ajax application with all the nice features you find on Ajax, you know, like smooth scrolling on grids and interactive charting and things like that.
That's very nice to have that Ajax capability right there. Do you have to actually write the Ajax code manually, or does your process generate the Ajax in that conversion process?
Yeah, we actually generate the Ajax from the model. Ajax coding can be very complicated, and also if you don't do it the right way, you can introduce, you know, security holes or have other problems. So we're able to provide a generated solution that gives you a high-quality, full-featured output.
One of the other issues that I've found in software development is that as you're developing, you have multiple developers working on a project, and someone might be working on one function and another person on another function, and then the whole change management process becomes an issue. The M3 approach, does it include some capabilities for change management, or is it something that has to be handled manually?
Good question. Application lifecycle management is critical to the modern software development process, and we certainly have that as part of our methodology. So when we do modernization, we perform that using enterprise tooling such as MKS Integrity, and then we implement that, you know, with the customer as a byproduct of the modernization process.
Your M3 approach, you've talked about using it in a model-based system. Are you trying to target specific organizations or types of companies that would use this modernization approach?
Customers span virtually all industries. We have customers in manufacturing and finance and higher education, government. In that respect, we support everyone. Probably the most significant segment for us is other software vendors that really have a compelling need to modernize and expand their markets through modernization. So we have some specific support for the enterprise ISV. We do support multiple platforms during modernization so that the ISV can generate their application in both J2EE, Java, or .NET. And also we support multilingual applications so that enterprise applications that may be sold worldwide may need to include, for example, Japanese, German, English, and Spanish versions. So we have some specific things around that we can target. And we do also focus primarily on the CA model-based customers, the people that are using CA2E or Sinon typically.
Well, since you mentioned Sinon2E, I've worked with it myself, and I know you work with it quite a bit, but a lot of people may not know exactly what 2E does. Could you give me a brief overview of what CA2E is?
Absolutely. CA2E was originally known as Sinon2E. It was one of the most successful, and is one of the most successful, code generation platforms out there. It was developed for the System 38 when the System 38 first came out. That's called the IBM i. And it enabled developers, companies, to develop software far faster than they were able to do in using hand-coded RPG and hand-coded COBOL. And it is a model-based tool, so you're developing your application in a model and then generating code. However, even though it's quite successful in its day, it is showing some signs of age now in that you are limited to generating RPG in COBOL, and you're limited to presenting your presentation layer in a green screen environment. So almost by definition, a TA2E system can now be considered legacy, and people are looking at what they need to do to modernize these systems.
One of the partners to 2E is CA Plex. That's an application that's been around for a while now also. What's the difference between CA Plex and CA2E?
Well, CA Plex was developed by CA to be the modern equivalent or replacement for CA2E. So CA Plex is a graphical model-based development environment that enables you to generate from a high-level business model modern languages like C# and Java. CA Plex also has concepts like design patterns and inheritance, things you don't find directly in CA2E. So it's very similar to 2E, but it's also a step above. It's a modern equivalent.
Sounds like an interesting environment to develop in. Does it provide benefits over a 3GL?
Yeah, we think it does provide some significant benefits, because CA Plex has the ability to use high-level software patterns and design abstraction, and you can use that capability to create some very complex software models. And then you don't have to implement the models by hand. You actually generate the models from the tool itself. You're generating either Java or .NET or both. So you're able to get a degree of platform independence and a very high degree of productivity, where one developer can do the work of several hand developers.
That in itself, just by having one person produce the work of multiple hand coders, probably saves the company quite a bit of money.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case.
And I think, you know, that's one of the things we always have to look at, is what kind of cost are we putting into something, and what kind of benefit are we getting out of it?
I agree.
Both CA Plex and CA2E, you mentioned, are model-based. Is this a new way of developing applications, or has it been around for a while?
Model-based development is not new. It has been around for a while, at least 20 years, but it's gaining some popularity recently as a better way to develop software in many cases. And we're starting to see some new tooling from IBM and from Microsoft, where they're producing model-based development platforms, or their standard development tools are gaining some model-based capabilities. And then another example that's out there is Ruby on Rails as a model-based development platform that's gaining some popularity.
You also mentioned that with Plex, there's what are called software patterns. How does Plex use these software patterns, and what benefit are they for developing software?
A software design pattern can be considered to be a blueprint or template for how to solve a problem, a software problem, in different situations. And one of the more common examples is a master detail pattern. You have master detail patterns applied to invoices, where you have an invoice header, invoice lines, maybe a contact list with the contact list owner and details, and really an endless variety of this pattern. But they all have the same need to have single master with many details and the ability to maintain and operate on these as a unit. What CA Plex gives you the capability is to take this abstract concept and basically encode this into a model, and then use that the CA Plex code generation capability to apply that model to the specific classes and specific situations in the software system. So this can be a very highly productive way of developing software, because you're not constantly creating clones of the same concept.
You've been talking about CA Plex and CA2E working with model-based development and how they increase the productivity that a single programmer can do. It seems to me that companies would want to have their programmers be more productive, so why hasn't model-based development been adopted more often than it has?
Yeah, I think there's a few reasons behind that. I think the main reason is it does take an upfront investment in abstract design and pattern-based methodology to really get the most out of model-based development systems. It's not something you just dive into and suddenly start being very productive with. But we found that our customers that are willing to make the investment and
are willing to put people on the project that have abstract thinking, the payoff can be pretty substantial. Because again, you're creating a set of abstract patterns that can be applied across many situations. So one person who has the proper training and the proper mindset can be as productive as, you know, 3 to 5 standard developers.
You have some large organizations that have, you know, some 2E applications that they developed them over years and years, maybe 10 to 20 years of development in 2E. Why would these companies consider moving to CA Plex to modernize their applications versus maybe EGL or some of the other options out there?
Well, I guess primarily the reason is that CA Plex is in many ways similar to CA2E. So there's a lot of benefits behind that. One benefit is learning curve is relatively gentle, that a 2E developer that has training in the Plex tool can come up to speed pretty quickly because the software looks very similar to what it did in 2E. So they can find things they need to work on and be productive immediately. The other thing is that the investment that people have made in their 2E models is considerable. And with our approach, you're able to preserve that investment to a high degree. So the business logic and the model structures that you've designed in 2E come across at a very high degree of automation in the CA Plex and look the same and operate the same. This makes it a very productive environment and, you know, preserves the high degree of investment you've made into your model. The last reason is that CA Plex can generate not only the C# and Java code that you would expect from a modern tool, but can also generate RPG, and that includes DDS green screens and reports. This can be pretty important in that, you know, as you're moving forward to new modern development techniques of Java and .NET, you also need to support your older code that's in RPG or in COBOL. So Plex can generate the RPG and can generate green screens to help you transition your way into the modern development environment more easily.
Another the buzzwords out there that you hear and you read about all the time in the software journals is about SOA and how many organizations are moving to use SOA. Does ADC utilize SOA and can they support it with Plex?
Yeah, absolutely. Our customers certainly demand that, as customers do everywhere. Typically, you do provide an SOA service bus as a byproduct of modernization so that you're able to access your modernized business logic through web services, for example, or embed your new screens in business process model layers. Absolutely. We find that's a very important and compelling reason to modernize.
Plex, does it actually generate web services for Java or .NET, or would you have to go down to using some of the more handwritten tools to integrate web services into your Plex environment?
Yeah, we're actually, because Plex is multi-platform, it does do well at supporting both Java and .NET. Plex has a native ability to generate WCF web services, so you can create these .NET-style web service access to your existing Plex functionality, and that's out of the box. And there's also additional tooling by third-party vendors, we are such as ourselves, that provide a Java-based web service solution. Of course, since we're talking about web services, there is a degree of platform independence. It doesn't really matter if you deploy your web services in .NET or Java. The end result, the end interface, can be accessed by a multitude of different operating systems and applications.
You've mentioned that you've worked together with CA, Databoro, and WebCity was mentioned. Why did you end up working with these companies instead of just developing this whole approach yourself?
Well, at ADC Austin, we see ourselves more as a modernization solution provider and not really as a software tool vendor. We offer best-of-breed software tooling, certainly, but we don't have to have that as internally developed. We're certainly willing to go outside the company and find the best-of-breed software that meets the needs of our customers. When we're looking at a modernization project, there's often many different aspects to it. We may provide a piece of it, like the actual 2E to CA Plex modernization, but where customers have, for example, COBOL code or RPG code that's outside the 2E model, we will certainly employ solutions from other vendors to give the best solution to our customer.
One of the big issues I think that companies, especially smaller companies, have when they're going through the modernization process is they need some support because they don't have all the skills on hand. So what kind of support do you at ADC provide during after and actually before the process even starts?
That's a good question. Certainly with modernization, it's not just porting the actual code from one environment to another. In fact, that's often a relatively small part of the overall project. Our service typically starts with a discovery process where we help the customer analyze their software with automated tooling through perhaps Data Bureau X analysis and actually discover and find out what it is they need to migrate and what it is they don't need to migrate. And then as we move into the modernization step, in addition to actually migrating the code, we also provide automated regression test software and services, training, project management. In short, we try to provide a clean service package to help our customers move from one platform to another in a holistic way.
Sounds like pretty much cover every aspect of helping a company modernize their software. A lot of times you'll go to a vendor and they'll do one piece or another piece, and you have to go to multiple vendors then to figure out what to do. Now, if someone wants to find out more information about your products or if they want to just learn about what you have, what's the best way to contact you or contact ADC?
We certainly have a great deal of information on our websites. We have two websites, adcaustin.com and adcaustintech.com. The CA.com website is also very informative. You can go out and research about CA2E and CAPlex. There's also a couple independently maintained wikis, wiki.plexinfo.net and wiki.2einfo.net, that have vendor-independent information on the CAPlex and CA2E tooling. We also have just recently launched a new site called m3modernization.com, and that explains our modernization methodology in more detail and has some targeted information specifically around modernization.
Thank you, John, for your time. It's been very educational.
That's fine, Mark. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with your audience.
Thank you for joining us for another session of Software Modernization. Please be sure to check back often on our website to find more interviews and additional resources. Our goal is to build a warehouse of information on software application modernization. For more information on software modernization and how you can subscribe to our free services, please visit us at www.softwaremodernization.com. We are always looking for experts in software modernization who are interested in sharing knowledge on this subject. If you are an expert and want to be interviewed by Mark Schroeder, please visit softwaremonetization.com and click on the interview link. This has been a production of MAT, Marketing Assistance Technologies.